All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the April 12th, 2022 VC API call. The agenda was placed into the channel a bit ago. Here it is again. On the agenda today is basically issue processing. We're just going to keep going through issues with a minor kind of call out. If there are issues that anyone feels are timely or worth discussing, let's talk about those first, before going through kind of the rest of the issues. Let's go ahead and start out, with, any kind of, introductions, relevant community updates, anything like that. So do we have anyone that is new to the call, or you'd just like to introduce yourself to the group? Any introductions? All right, I think most of us have been on the call before, so we'll go ahead and get into community news, any community news, any updates, from the general community? All right. The only, I think, only update, I think we have some folks weren't here last week. We have new test suites, for the basic issuer and basic verifier, API. So those are on the minutes, from last week. The goal of those test suites are basically to just at a very minimal, you know, just do a very minimal test. Do you, support the issuer API, the endpoint? Do you support verification? That sort of thing. The goal of those kind of micro test suites is to put them all together. So we hope to have, we hope that those base APIs end up driving a whole bunch of other feature APIs like the crypto suite APIs, like credential refresh, revocation, things of that nature. The goal here is to have a bunch of small test suites that you can kind of point to your infrastructure, so your VC API endpoints, just what you support, and then that will end up, the test suite will run against that infrastructure for very targeted endpoints, like credential issuing or presentation verification or things of that nature. We're still working on kind of the output format for each test suite. All the test suites are intending, we're intending for them to have a common output format. And with that common output format, the goal here is to have like a multi-ecosystem, like a multi-industry vertical site that basically puts all of those test suite results together. So the education sector, retail sector, financial sector, government identity sector, all that kind of traceability, all those sectors would be able to pull those data files in and kind of show what cross-industry interop looks like, show which platforms support certain verifiable credentials, and so on and so forth. So the first kind of round of that stuff kind of went out last week. So that's in last week's minutes for anyone that wants to catch up on that. Let me pause there. Any questions, concerns about any of that? Okay. If not, we'll go ahead and continue then. Let me go ahead and bring the issues up here. Oh, go ahead, Eric. You had a question.
More just wanted to give a quick update on the use cases since I've been traveling for the better part of the last month. So I think last time we had left off, we had kind of shown some images of sequence diagrams that I had put together. Just wanted to let Tall Ted and the whole group know that Joe has created a script that will convert our output into Mermaid. So that should allow for easier commenting on specific line items in the sequence diagrams, and I'm looking to get that update pushed here in the next week before hopefully this call next week. And then also at the same time, Joe and I are going to be going through the diagrams because right now they're just my first pass. So just taking a second pass with a second set of eyes. So if anyone else would like to join in on that, either send Joe or myself an email. And I guess just for you, Manu, maybe looking at 2 to 3 weeks from now, having a kind of update on this call, maybe spending, I don't know, 20 minutes or however long we think is needed to kind of take a look at those diagrams.
Awesome. That's a great update. Thank you, Eric. Yeah, plus one to that. Happy to put you on the agenda, whenever you feel it's ready. Do you think you're gonna, like, email the mailing list, with kind of an update before? Just, like, what's the trigger for that? Are you just gonna email me, email the mailing list?
I could do either. I'll say I'll email the mailing list and, possibly you as well. Okay. Just to make sure it gets through.
Sounds great. Thank you for that. How much more work do you feel? I mean, you know, use cases are like this constant, you know, iterative thing until basically the working group's done with version 1.0. With that said, do you feel like, you know, the first, and this is really the second iteration, is more or less done? Or what kind of work do you foresee after that first iteration?
The main thing that will hopefully come out of that work, I think, is to help identify the gaps in endpoints that are currently missing, in the actual spec itself. And possibly if people start to see actual kind of formal sequence diagrams and the use cases in the document, maybe it will trigger some people to go back and revise some of the use cases that haven't made it into that document yet, that needed a little bit more work in some way, shape, or form. So those would kind of be the two paths, I think, coming out of it. Joe, I would prompt you here if you have anything to add.
Sure. So we've got a good set of base use cases, which I think all sort of are on the order of focal use cases. And I think we just need to clean that up and decide if we want. So we have some choices about scope that we need to make about the document itself. But I think when we get back from this working through the sequence diagrams, we should have the foundation of a document that would be, we'll have a clearer map from here to the end of the work.
All right. Sounds good. Is this next iteration, is it a translation into respec, or is this just still in Google Docs with mermaid diagrams?
So we are in respec. In fact, when I spoke about it last time, I misread the readme.md for the actual document that has everything that Eric has pulled over. So there are, in fact, diagrams in the current VC API use cases. So I would say we're already in the respec world. It may not be up to date or complete in terms of the total scope of the content, but there's at least a draft that's in respec, and I'll drop that URL into our chat.
I just did.
Ah, good.
Awesome. That's great. So further along than we thought we were last week. Let me go ahead and share my screen and get that on screen. So this is the current document as it, the current use cases document as it stands right now.
That's right.
Okay. Cool. Very cool.
And then, Eric, I believe you had said that, does this have all the diagrams from the Google Doc? Or not? There's some still in the PR?
It has the set of diagrams from the use cases we had accepted when Juan was still leading the use cases endeavor, which was the six of them that you see listed there. There are probably another 10 or so use cases that didn't make our cut at that point. So if people are feeling like something's missing, I would ask that you go to the Google Doc, which I'll link here, and take another pass or iteration, or send me an email with any updates that you would like to see, and we can work through that together.
Cool.
All right. Cool. Yeah, looks great. It's coming along. Just a heads up, Eric, my expectation is you're going to have the source for the mermaid diagrams somewhere. Is that right?
Yes, they will be in the GitHub in some way, shape, or form.
Okay, great. The reason I mentioned that is, I have no idea when I'll get around to it, but I'm going to try and add a mermaid renderer to respec. And once we do that, then we'll be able to directly embed that source in the respec file, and it will render into the respec document. We won't have to convert to SVG anymore, for example. Okay, good. Anything else on use cases? Updates, questions, concerns? Okay. Thank you very much for that update, Eric and Joe. Next up are issues. I do want to point out a very active conversation that's happening right now that folks might not have seen. So let me pull this up. Active conversation on AutZ and endpoints. So issue 279 has 67 comments in like 14 days. For those of you that have not been following along, this is one of the places that CCG discussion around OpenID went. So there's been a big question in trying to kind of deconstruct, does the exchange's endpoint that we have right now defined, does it always need AutZ? Or is AutZ optional? And that conversation has gone in a bunch of different places, in healthy places, with diagrams on, you know, what the flows are and, how Chappie, connects to the VC API and VPR, and what some of those, kind of flows and security models, look like. I think there is also a commentary on, I think Mike, you proposed, some stuff here about how do you get the identity of the wallet. It's a really good thread and it's incredibly long. I don't expect everyone has the time to catch up on that thread, but there's a lot of kind of new thinking and analysis that's going on there. So just making sure everyone knows that discussion, at least part of that discussion, is happening there. And we're making some good headway around AutZ. And OpenID and Chappie and the different protocols, DIDCOM and that kind of thing. And wallet identity and client identity and things of that nature. Okay. Any questions on that before we jump in? Mike, would you want to, or Dave, do you want to add anything into that? Since both of you have been active in that thread.
This is Mike. Nothing from me, although maybe it might be worthwhile having a summary on this call of sort of where the conversation has gotten to. I think it's still very active, so I don't know that that's appropriate, next week, but in order, just so people don't have to read 67 plus messages, We can just kind of do a readout of where we are and then kind of almost reset the conversation to help people join in.
Plus one doing that. Dave, any thoughts?
No, I kind of agree with Mike. But if you do like reading, check out the issue.
I think, Mike, at the end here, you do a really good job of a summary of some kind, right? And so what we're trying to do is break all of these different technologies into different categories so that we're doing apples to apples comparisons against them. One of the, I think, mistakes that we all made in the discussion on the CCG mailing list is confusing Chappie with like OpenIDC, like the protocol. So they're very different things. Like, things called mediators or locators here, things like Chappie, things like invoking a protocol handler on a mobile device, the things that initiate a wallet, are very different than the protocols that you actually use to move credentials back and forth, like the VC API. And there was quite a bit of conflation of everything together. And one of the things that has come out of this 67 message conversation here is we have better categories to lump these technologies into. Like Chappie is a locator / mediator, right? And then we have these things that are discovery protocols where you do things like, okay, so as a client, what can you support? How can I talk to you? How can we, can we actually communicate, as Mike put it? Then there's session binding, like, do I know if the person that, do I know that the person that's engaged with me on this website is the same person that's engaged with the digital wallet somewhere out there on the internet? How can I know that? Right. So that's what this subject wallet to session binding thing is about. And then finally, there's credential delivery. How do I get a credential to you? How do you get a credential to me? That kind of stuff. And there's some examples here, as well at the very bottom here. I'll put the pointer to that in, chat as well. But yeah, I think Mikey did an excellent job here kind of summarizing at least where we got to in the conversation. So it's bearing fruit, but you know, it'll be a little bit longer until we're able to really get down into the details. Anything else on that before moving into issue processing? Okay. Then let's go ahead and get into the first item. Which is, a proposal that Ori put forward, that basically says the spec will recommend against doing direct issuer to verifier flows over HTTPS. The thing that there is a bit of a caveat to this, which is checking the status, doing like a privacy preserving status check. What we're trying to convey very clearly is that, you know, the direct issue to verifier flow is kind of a more traditional IDP to verifier flow. It doesn't go through any intermediary like a holder. It's a phone home. The concern is around phone home. So there's been some discussion here. But fundamentally, I think the proposal, was that the spec, should, argue against direct issuer to verifier flows. Anyone else, want to speak to this? Any other thoughts? Go ahead, Joe.
This sounds correct to me, with that carve out that you mentioned. So, the refresh status check, or not the refresh, sorry, the status check, two very different points of extensibility there. I think we should describe that and make it clear that that is an acceptable mechanism, but make sure it's clear why it's acceptable, so that we have that mechanism documented as a privacy preserving best practice. Through the use cases that we've looked at so far, we didn't have any instances where there was a good reason for issuer to verifier communication other than that one check.
Okay.
The status check.
Status check. Okay, so the use cases other than status check do not show that direct issuer to verifier communication is necessary for operation of the system. And my expectation, so we're basically waiting for a PR on this. Is that right? We just need someone to write a PR that says, you know, don't do direct issuer to verifier communication, with a caveat that privacy protecting status checks are okay. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the queue.
Thanks. So I'm just wondering how the spec intends to prevent that or disencourage, besides just saying there's a reason why you shouldn't be doing this, you know, to preserve the model of self-sovereign identity. It's the purpose is the holders representing the data, and we don't have these call homes, but how are we going to prevent it?
That's an excellent question. We can prevent it, okay. Right? I think the most that we can do is, the commentary that we've put in other specifications, like the VC spec and the DID spec, have been taken pretty seriously. Like when you point to a security or privacy consideration, and that's really probably where this text should go, right? It should go in the privacy consideration section. We should have a section called, you know, phone home or direct issuer verifier communication, and warn that against. I mean, we've thought about this deeply. In general, it's a really bad idea. Don't do it. And just have some explanatory text around that. That the group did discuss it. We did agree that it was a bad idea, and so don't do it. Because people will come at you wagging their finger about what a terrible ecosystem participant you're being, right?
Okay, and it's also related to the exchanges endpoint. You shouldn't be designing necessarily exchanges that require the verifier to suddenly call the issuer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, thanks.
That was a very good clarifying set of comments, Mike. So this should be placed in the privacy considerations section. Should talk about exchanges, talk about this, warning applying to exchanges as well. Don't phone home. And that the group considered this and in general feels like it's a bad idea. Okay. Any other input on this issue before we move on? Okay, I'll mark it as ready for PR. And that is that item. All right. Here's the next topic. Verifiers must cryptographically sign their challenges. So this was raised by Ori as well. Can we remove the optionality for the challenge and domain part of requesting a presentation and make it a requirement? I suggest we do whatever Wacky Presentation Exchange does and use a JOT. Mike ProRock says options could actually be optional or defined as a required parameter if a call is required. Jim St. Clair said he likes this. Issue of trusting the verifier has come up in several conversations. So there's some miscommunication happening here as well. But the miscommunication, I think, is Jim thinks that this is the verifier digitally signing their request to identify themselves. This goes to kind of Daniel Hardman's point that he made last week, which was, this really should be peer-to-peer and both sides of the connection should be identifying themselves. I believe what Ori is saying is that challenge and domain should never be optional during a presentation and you should always have them. Trying to parse what Mike's saying here. So I think Mike is saying options should be optional, or defined as required for the call. The immediate thing that comes up if we do this, so let's take Ori's suggestion. You must sign over challenge and domain, destroys all bearer token use cases. So my suggestion is we can't do this because if you have to sign over a presentation, you are no longer supporting bearer token use cases. Longley, you're up.
Yeah, I would think bearer token use cases would not be sending the presentation for verification. You'd be sending the credentials in the presentation for verification. So you'd use the credentials, the credential verify endpoint, not the presentation verify endpoint. So I think the request here is if you're going to be verifying a presentation, then that presentation should have a challenge and domain on it that is signed over. I don't know if there would be other discussion about what kind of signature there needs to be or if this will work for all possible signature types that anyone might put on a presentation. I'm not sure.
Just in Europe.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that the use of a bearer token with a signed and a separated signed payload does make sense. I mean, it's if the bearer token is controlling access to the ability to call the endpoint and perform the action, then that's what the bearer token represents. This is separate from any signatures in the challenge itself, which might prove, you know, who the holder is, who it was issued to, and other controls and things like that. So the separation of authorization of the action being taken and the veracity of the payload itself is an important design principle.
Thank you, Justin. Dave, you're up.
Yeah, so those points make sense. We do need to decide, I think, at some point, whether verifiers should be verifying only proofs that were created for the purpose of authentication when verifying a presentation, which would be different from proofs that were created for the purpose of invoking a capability, for example, which is what I would think would fall under what Justin's talking about. Someone's trying to use a bearer token to take some kind of action, as opposed to they're signing over a presentation to prove that they control some cryptographic material or something like that.
All right, Q is empty, unless, Justin, you put yourself back on.
I didn't, but then I did, but I was still left over. Anyway, I was just going to plus one that comment and say that this does, of course, extend to proof of possession style token presentation like you have in systems like CNAP, where you actually may end up with different signatures for different purposes, one covering the token and therefore the actions being taken on the API itself, and separate ones covering the data for higher level functions. These things exist at different layers, and that's, to me, that's always been one of the most important things about the authorization discussion, is not conflating not conflating the authorization question, which is what am I allowed to do here, with all of the questions that VCs are meant to answer, which is, you know, like, who does this represent? What, you know, who has testified to this data and all of those other kinds of things? They are functioning at different layers, and that needs to be clear in the structure.
Yep, plus one to that. Okay, so this issue specifically is, should challenge and domain be optional on a presentation, or is it a must? You must include them.
Do we have any use case where they would not be included? Because I think we just talked about if you did not have a signature on your presentation, then you then we're not talking about any of the cases, regardless of the layering details or anything. We're not talking about any of those cases. And I don't know that we have a case where anyone would be submitting an unsigned presentation to a verifier endpoint, because we tried to rule that out in the previous calls, because there were potential security problems with allowing people to do that. And if it is the case that every presentation is always going to be signed, we could also potentially say they're always going to have challenges and domains as well. And then if we have no use case where that's not true, then we can make this requirement.
Joe?
In our current language around the request, are we requesting distinctly VCs versus VPs?
Joe, could you repeat that question, please?
Yeah, so I like what I'm hearing where Dave's going, which is we're saying there are some types of credential flows that do not need a signature at the point of presentation because the business logic doesn't require it. Seems to me that if what we're asking for is a VC that is a bearer token, then that is not asking for a VP that includes a signature. So I think there's a distinction here, and I don't know if in our request we make that distinction, but it seems to me that if there's no challenge, then we are necessarily just asking for the VC. That seems aligned. If there is a challenge, then it only makes sense if there's a VP that's going to be signed and returned.
Yep. So we do this for the age verification stuff, don't we? The VPR, the age verification VPR, or the VPR is we have a presentation that is unsigned that contains a credential. Go ahead, Longley.
Yeah, I was gonna say that I think that the nuance or the difference here, the tweak to what Joe said is, whenever we ask for anything, in these protocols, at least so far, the request is always for a presentation. Whether or not that presentation needs to be, digitally signed, is triggered off of whether or not a challenge is included in that request. And, you know, we could make that more explicit in other ways if we wanted to. But the idea here is the response is always a presentation. If the presentation is not signed and that's acceptable for for the business logic or purposes, whatever, then the system receiving that presentation would send just the credentials for verification, not the presentation. And so the decision there would be a switch off of, the business logic before hitting the verifier, as opposed to always just sending whatever is received, whether it's VC or VP, to a verifier. If that makes sense.
Okay, so what you're saying is that we do have a use case where you can put a credential in a presentation where the presentation doesn't have a domain, a challenge, or a signature, and it's sent over as a part of the Exchange's API. And then when the verifier gets that, because for that exchange, they know that they'd never asked for a domain or a challenge, internally, they would unwrap the credential from the VP and send the credential to the credential verifier endpoint and get a verification there. So they would be okay with there not being a signature on it. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Yeah. So the presentation always envelopes whatever VCs are sent or whatever information is sent is always put into a presentation. But that presentation may or may not be signed. And whether or not that's acceptable is a business logic decision.
So you are arguing for challenge and domain.
I'm not arguing. So that this is orthogonal. I'm saying that, the verifier endpoint for part of this has to do with our language is still confusing because we're saying that the presentation is handed to the verifier as a role, but the service that has the API for verifying this presentation is now going to yeah, this is why we had a diagram that has like verifier applications and other modules. I'd like to maybe draw from that, but
yeah, apps and servers.
Yeah, services. It's like an app receives the presentation, and then the app decides to hit the service, and the endpoint that it hits is if it's okay with an unsigned presentation, it hits the credential verify service endpoint. If it needs that presentation, if it requires that presentation to be signed, it hits the endpoint for verifying presentation. And now, even in that model, the endpoint for verifying presentation can require a challenge and domain because you would not hit that endpoint if you did not require the presentation to be signed.
So here's the diagram. You're saying the verifier app receives a presentation without a signature on it, in a credential that does have a signature on it.
Right.
And it then makes a decision on what backend call to hit on the verifier service. It either hits credential verify if it was not expecting the presentation to be signed, or it hits presentation verify if it was expecting there to be a challenge domain, all that kind of stuff.
That's right.
Okay. That makes sense to me. Is anyone else concerned? Okay, with the discussion so far. Questions, concerns. Thumbs up from Joe. I don't know why I was expecting your name to be floating along with that thumbs up. So distracting, but it's great at the same time. Okay. Let's reset this. Okay, so what are we doing here? We're saying...
I don't think we have a use case where the verify presentation endpoint doesn't require challenge or domain, so we should require it until we find that there is a use case where it's not needed.
Yeah, the endpoint at the service.
That's right.
I'm confused primarily because I just read the title here and it doesn't match up with what Ori was. I'm having a hard time connecting these two statements together. Verifiers must cryptographically sign their challenges. That to me says that there needs to be a digital signature on the VPR. Does anyone else read that in any other way?
I do.
Okay.
I think he's saying that the challenges, should exist and they should be signed JWTs, just the challenge.
Does anyone else have that interpretation?
I don't, but I now see that that could have been what he was trying to say. I mean, I'm not sure what else he would be saying since he says we should, at the end of his comments, he says, and use a JWT. So to me, that implies at some level, he's talking about making the challenge be a JOT.
Okay. All right. We probably need Ori here to get his intent, but we did cover some good ground here. Yeah, I'm seeing what you're saying now, Joe, and Dave. Are we ready to do, are we ready to write any kind of PR here? I know I'm confused.
No, I don't think we're ready for a PR. Might need a clarification from Ori, and I don't know that I would support making the challenge a jot. I don't know that it's necessary to do that. And I don't know that it would, eliminate some of the, I haven't thought through the how one would implement, if you used a jot, making sure in a distributed, decentralized system that you did not have replay. It might be possible to do that for some systems and maybe not others so easily.
Okay. Signed.
In other words, we have talked about in other issues that we should expose an endpoint on the verifier to create challenges that can be put in the VPRs and then must be sent to the presentation endpoint of the verifier. And that challenge needs to not be reused to prevent replay attack. And that implies tracking the challenge for at least some amount of time. It seems to me like maybe using a jot was supposed to try and make it easier for people to implement that. So maybe they didn't need a backing database, but that, you know, it seems like we need more feedback and information from Ori around why we would force this to be a jot.
Okay. Joe, you're up.
I lost my thread. It seems to me that the challenge is a validation question, not a verification question. And it seems to me it's the app, not the service, who should be checking that. Because I believe the threat vector is not between the app and the service, but between the app and the holder. I think that's where we are worried about the person in the middle attack. So it feels like checking if the issuer is on your whitelist, right, your allow list. It seems like it's validation, not verification. But I'm curious what your thought is, Dave, because you didn't hesitate at treating it as verification.
I think there's two components to it. One is, I don't think you should even bother checking a signature if a challenge is not valid to begin with. That challenge should exist on the verification system. It should have been a challenge that was created by that system. When you hit the verification service and say, you know, verify the signature, it needs to make sure that it was signed over on a challenge that was previously created by that system. And then the verifier can report back how many times it's already seen that challenge before. And what the verifier app does with the number of times it's seen the challenge is a validation question.
Right. So we need more information from me to proceed on this item. But at present, it's basically a no-op. We don't have enough information to write a PR. Okay, moving on. Let's see. Broken paths or test reports caused by changes to this repo. This should probably be closed. Chat. Let's see. Sween. Display test results. So, let's see. Let's see. So this has to do with test reports. This repo doesn't do test reports anymore. That's up to the testing stuff. So based on that, the suggestion is to close this issue because the VC API doesn't include test reports anymore. Thoughts, concerns, questions? Would there be any objections to closing this issue on that basis? We don't do test reports from the VC API spec repo anymore. Closing.
I'm not looking at the README at the moment, but the issue says the docs and the README are now broken, so the README needs editing in any case.
It does. You are right. Well, this thing isn't about the README. I'm pretty sure our README is really messed up at this point and needs a rewrite. Ted, we might want to open a new issue on that, that the README needs a significant update.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Okay, would you mind opening that issue, Ted?
I don't have the facility to take that note right now.
Okay, can someone do that while I close this issue? That's that one closed. Did anyone do the raise for the README?
I will try to remember it later, but I have no guarantees.
No, I can do it right now. Here we go. The README.
It is being done in the chat. Cody said he's working on it.
Great.
Thank you.
All right. Going back. Thank you, Coyote. Let's see, where did I sort by? Used recently updated. Okay. Alright, next one up is the BBS Plus test fixtures. Right. So if this is true, it's wrong. I think we updated it, the linked data proof stuff, to support more than JWS, but we might not have. I think we just need to look at this group. Does anyone want to take an action to look at what the proof format supports currently? What we need to do is make sure that we support the new data integrity stuff as well as the older JWS stuff. Don't have any takers. We're just going to comment this and move on. Any other questions, concerns, comments on this item? All righty. Well, that needs to be looked into. And it's clearly wrong if that is what we do. Okay, next topic is to establish permanent URLs for specification and resources by version. So we have not been doing this. We're in kind of an experimental spec right now. There was a desire to version it at some point, and we did. Thoughts about versioning the spec at this point in time? Suggestions to do it, suggestions against doing it. Go ahead, Mike.
It strikes me as though it's a bit early to version the spec. At this time, I agree versioning is very important, but usually you would build that version when there's, clear testability, in the new version. So, I just don't know that we're there. Happy for others to say otherwise, but I don't think we're ready yet for a version.
Thank you, Mike. You got a plus one from Justin in chat. I think I'm a plus one to what you said as well. It feels premature to version something that's a bit of a moving target. Another plus one from Dave Longley. Okay, so the group discussed this on and there were at least four all that suggested that the specification isn't ready to be versioned in time. Would anyone object to us not versioning the specification at this point in time? I'm going to close this. The next time someone wants to version the specification, they should raise an issue and say that they want a version snapshot of it. All right, that closing. Let's see, we have 1 minute left. Not enough time to talk about interoperability profile for the test suites. Mike, you're up for the next batch of issues. If you don't mind scanning through them really quickly at some point in the next week and just closing ones where you feel like we don't need to even address this anymore. There's some issues in here that are like 2 years old and are clearly, you know, talk about the test suite where it's, this is clearly not the place to do that anymore. Anyway, just a
can do.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. That's it for the call today. Thank you everyone, for joining. I really appreciate it. Feel free to take a look at issues, raise PRs. There are a couple of issues that are ready for PR. So if you're looking for, you know, to contribute to the specification, look at the ready for PR markers and see if you're willing to write up some text for that stuff. Thanks everyone. Have a great day. Bye.